Thank you, Pastor Matt, and good morning, church. It's truly a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And my name is Brian Ng, and accompanying me today is my wife, Joni, and our son, Ezra. And so I hope we get to at least meet some of you today before we leave here. Now, I would have to admit that driving in today was a little bit nostalgic for me, because I actually used to grow up here in the Woodlands. I actually lived not too far from here, 5 minutes from here, actually, off East Amberglow Circle. And I went to high school at John Cooper. So if you're familiar with that school, it's not that far away either. And so I'm truly, truly thankful to you guys for giving me the opportunity to walk down this memory lane, and most of all, for the opportunity to bring God's word to you this morning. So, since this is God's word and this is God's house and we are God's people, let's go to God in prayer first. So pray with me. Father God, thank you for being a God who knows us better than we know ourselves. You know the heart condition of every person in this room. And so we ask that you will humble my heart, that you will humble each person's heart here today to receive your word with the expectation that your spirit will do the work that only you can do. And I'm going to ask you guys to just pray for yourselves. Pray for God to speak to you. And you could just take a moment and pray for me and that God would use me to speak to you as well. Father God, we thank you for this church and the way that you've worked in its members through these past years. And we pray that you'll continue to do so for many, many years to come. And so as we go into your word, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's willing to receive. And pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I used to think to myself that what could be manlier than putting together working out with spiritual accountability? See, I knew these two guys that I had built an accountability with back at Texas A&M. And we had this thing that we used to do, which was that we used to go to one of the guys' backyard and we would have these workout sessions. And it eventually became a time that we would also share with one another how we've been doing. So we'll share with each other about how we've grown. We've also shared with each other how we've struggled with certain sins. Then we got the idea. As we share with one another, as we confess to one another, we had the idea that for every confession that we made to each other, that we would increase and intensify our workout regimen for that day. And so you could imagine that there were certain days that we walked away way more sore than others. And yet, I was so thankful for those times, those workout sessions, because it really helped bond us together as brothers in Christ. And it really helped us to get good at confessing to one another. But as I look back right now, as I think about the way we did accountability then, I realized that we were also lacking in the way we approached accountability. That we were lacking in the consistent follow-up. We were lacking in the intentional prayer. We were lacking even in the honest calling out from one brother to another. And so as thankful as I was for those guys, when we think about the way that we approach accountability then, that yes, we had the right heart, but our approach and our thinking needed to be refined and needed to be worked on. And so that, in a way, relates to what we're going to be talking about today here, which is Jesus calling for us to deny ourselves. See, for us, we may have the desire, we may even have the desire to be obedient to this calling, but we need to understand that this calling to deny ourselves can very easily be misunderstood and misapplied. See, because on one hand, you could be practicing self-denial in a way where you're denying yourself of all the joys of this world, and eventually you burn out because you mistakenly think that self-denial equals self-destruction, when in reality, it's part of the transformation work of the Spirit in our lives. And then on the other hand, you could be practicing self-denial so well that you start being self-righteous about it. You start feeling this pride and you swell up because you're so good, apparently, at your abilities to deny yourself. And that is because we mistakenly think that self-denial equals self-glorification, when in reality, it's about glorifying God in surrender. So there is indeed a need for us to have a biblical reorientation and correction to the way that we think about it and the way that we approach this call from Jesus to deny ourselves. So I invite you to turn to Mark 14. And starting in verse 53, we're going to be learning from both Jesus and Peter how we as followers of Christ are meant to obey this calling to deny ourselves. And so there are three main takeaways from the passage that we have for today, which is we are to deny ourselves by surrendering our selfish tendencies and preferences. The second point is that we're going to deny ourselves by submitting to Christ's lordship over our lives. And the third is that we're going to deny ourselves by seeking security in Christ. Okay, so those are the three points, that we deny ourselves by surrendering, submitting, and seeking Christ. All right, so let's look at the first point, that we're to deny ourselves by surrendering our selfish tendencies and preferences. So read with me in verse 53. It says, "And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together." See, at this point in the gospel story, Jesus has been betrayed by Judas, he's been arrested by the men sent from the Jewish leaders, and he's been abandoned by the rest of his disciples. And that is just the start of it, because Jesus is about to stand trial for a crime he did not commit. And as the trial is about to get underway, we see one of Jesus' disciples sticking by him. It's Peter. Now, Peter, this is the same Peter that six chapters ago, he was saying the right Sunday school answer, right? That Jesus is Christ. And this is also the same Peter that in this same chapter, in chapter 14, that he had proclaimed so zealously that, hey, all these other disciples may ditch you and abandon you, but I will not. So if there was one disciple that we would be rooting for and that we would totally expect to be right by Jesus' side, would be Peter. But as we look at our passage, we no longer find a zealous and resolute Peter. No, what we find is a Peter who is terrified and confused. See, there is no doubt that Peter loved Jesus. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. And at first glance, when you look at the passages, you see as it's Peter seems to be doing exactly what Jesus called him to do, which was to follow Christ. But as we read, we're going to realize that Peter's following of Christ was not wholeheartedly. It was half-heartedly. So read with me in verse 54. It says, "And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself by the fire." Now, note the three ways that Mark describes Peter's following. That Peter was following him at a distance. Later on in verse 68, Mark actually notes that Peter starts backing away, going further away from where Jesus was. And so his body language communicated something. It was communicated that Peter was trying to disassociate himself from Jesus while still trying to see what was going on and what Jesus would do. And so not only was Peter following Jesus at a distance, he was also sitting with the guards. See, Peter, in a sense, was trying to blend in. So much so, he would surround himself with people who opposed Jesus and that who would have probably arrested him had his identity been revealed. And so the third thing that Mark points out of what Peter was doing was that he was warming himself by the fire. And you may think to yourself, well, what's wrong with that? Well, during this cold springtime night, Peter was seeking comfort by seeking the warmth of a fire, which shows that he cared more about his own self-comfort than what was going on with Jesus, than what Jesus was going through. So instead of denying his comfort, instead of denying his safety, instead of denying his social status, he held on to it. So for us here today, in order for us to obey the calling to deny ourselves, to surrender ourselves, it is crucial for the self to be well known and well examined. In other words, we need to be a student of ourselves in order to know what is it about ourselves that we're called to deny. See, I moved from Malaysia to the United States when I was just a freshman in high school. And as hard of a transition as that was academically, it was equally hard or even harder socially because I was just not used to the culture here and because of my broken English. And so after my first semester at John Cooper, I was determined to turn around my social situation. And so I decided to seek to be as popular as possible. So I did what any 13-year-old boy would do. I joined the basketball team. I did as many clubs as possible. I went to as many social events. I went to as many sporting events as possible. All the while, my walk with God was non-existent because I was so focused. I was honed in. I was prioritizing building this kingdom in high school rather than focusing on God's kingdom. And it wasn't until graduation that my eyes were finally open to realize that kingdom that I had spent 4 years building, it had meant nothing. Because as I transitioned out, I was transitioning into the next phase of my life, into college. See, what we are called to deny are the selfish tendencies in us, in our hearts, to prioritize our own self-interest, our own self-preferences, our own self-righteousness above God and his calling for our lives. So for Peter, it was his inability to let go of his security, of his comfort, and of his social status. But the question is, what is it for us? What are we called to deny in ourselves? Students, are you willing to deny building your own kingdom and focus instead on building some others up and pointing them to Christ? Ministers, lay leaders, are we willing to deny the tendency in us to define our identity by how busy we are in ministry and learn to rest in him? Husbands, wives, are we willing to lay down our pride and to pursue and to take that first step towards reconciliation with your spouse when the conflict arises? Working professionals, are we willing to sacrifice the time that we would spend on our own work and instead to help a fellow coworker with their workload? And if you're a seeker here today, are you willing to surrender your fear of what your family and what your friends may think of you if you became a Christian? And instead, take this journey to understand, and not just to understand, but to know the living Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And let us not pretend that denying ourselves is going to be easy. It's not. It may even seem impossible. But the hope is this, is that we know that it is not only is it possible, it is also worth it. And it's because of the one who gave us that calling and who lived it out perfectly. And that moves us into the second part of our message, which is to deny ourselves by submitting to Christ's lordship over our lives. See, while Peter was trying to avoid attention, Jesus was at the very center of the attention. He was surrounded by the Jerusalem council, whose one goal that night was to put him on the death penalty by whatever means necessary, even if it meant that he needed to resort to deceiving and deceitful means. And so the first thing they tried doing is to compile testimonies from false witnesses against Jesus in order to condemn him. But even so, no matter how many cases they brought before the council, nothing could hold any water whatsoever. This just proves that no matter how hard people try, Jesus can never be discredited by his words or by his actions. So when method one failed, they then turn to the high priest. And the high priest takes it upon himself to interrogate Jesus head on. And so it is in the face of this questioning by the high priest, Jesus has the option. He could either remain silent, and he would most likely have been let free because there was nothing, none of the accusations held any water, or he could do what he actually did. Because in his full sovereignty, Jesus chose to speak. He chose to respond to the question of the high priest. He doesn't just stop there. He goes on to clarify and to elaborate. See, read with me in verse 61. It says, but he, talking about Jesus, remained silent and he made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven. See, Jesus' claim revealed three things about him, about who he truly is. Jesus was claiming, on one hand, he was claiming a divine mission. He was claiming a divine mission when he says, I am the Christ. I'm the anointed one who's been sent by God to be Savior and Lord over all. And not only was he claiming a divine mission, he was claiming divine sonship. When he says, I am the Son of the Blessed, or the Son of God. In other words, he was claiming equality with God the Father. And then the third claim was that Jesus was claiming divine authority when he says he is the Son of Man. See, what Jesus did there was that he put together two key verses in the Old Testament from Daniel 7 and Psalm 110 about the Son of Man, and essentially proclaiming that he has full authority and full power, and it is in this authority and in this power that he will return one day at his second coming to bring judgment and to establish his kingdom. See, this first public acknowledgement by Jesus himself about his divine mission, his divine sonship, and divine authority revealed that Jesus was intentional in speaking up. And he was in full control of the situation, knowing that his words was going to lead him to the cross. And so when Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, he's speaking from a position of authority and also as the one who has ultimate authority. But he doesn't command us from afar, right? He comes close to us by being one of us, by living the perfect life with perfect obedience, by denying the things of this world, the things of this world that would have tempted him away from God's purposes for him, in order to do what? To accomplish what we could not do for ourselves, for our salvation, for our redemption. See, sometimes when we think about God calling us to deny and to say no, we often overlook that God is also telling us to say yes to more glorious and more eternal things. So we can trust in Jesus' lordship over our lives to guide us, to empower us as to how to live this life despite of the cost, because he is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over our lives. And also, he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And that leads us to our last point, which is to deny ourselves by seeking security in Christ. See, when we last left Peter, he was chilling by the fire with his new friends, right, the guards. And the irony about Peter chilling by the fire for warmth is that that same fire also gives light, which inadvertently allows Peter to be recognized by those around him. And so this triggers a three-part confrontation between Peter and the servant girl, as well as a couple of bystanders. And each time that Peter is accused, he denies it. And each time he denies it, he increases in his degree of denial, going from, you know, faking ignorance all the way to swearing and cussing by God's name. And you see that just how much of Peter's self-preservation was rooted in fear and insecurities. See, Mark calls out the two occasions that the rooster crows. So the first time the rooster crows doesn't faze Peter. Peter thinks nothing of it. It wasn't until the second crow that Peter's eyes were finally open. In a way, Peter finally woke up at the second crow, after he denied Jesus three times, to realize just how far he had fallen away from following Jesus, and also to realize that Jesus was right, that Jesus was right about him betraying him. See, Jesus, I don't think that Jesus told Peter so that he could say, I told you so, right? I think Jesus told Peter about his betrayal ahead of time. It is so that the redemption of Peter can be so much sweeter When Jesus sought Peter out after his resurrection in John 21. Church, we can never surprise him because he knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He also knows our strengths. He knows when, you know, our selfish tendencies and our selfish desires. He knows when we're going to be faithful to him and when we're going to fail him. And yet he chose to save us. He chose to adopt us into his own family. And he chose to remain faithful even when we are not. And it's because he knows us, we can go to him with our struggles. We can go to him and rest assured that he is more than able to sustain us, to guide us, to transform us more into his likeness. See, it is so easy for us to get so fixated when we hear Jesus calling for us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and to follow him. It is so easy to fixate ourselves on the self-denying aspect of it as if that is the end goal. When in reality, the act of denying ourselves is only the means to the end. And that is to follow Christ at any cost. So let us live a life, a self-denying life, by letting go and trusting it to Christ. See, before my wife and I got married, I remember hearing people say that when you get married, you're essentially dying to yourself because you are essentially losing all the freedom that you once had when you were a single person. And now when as I look back and knowing what I know now, I would say I have a different perspective. That yes, with marriage comes the aspect of denying and dying to yourself, but there's also an accompanying aspect that you're gaining something with marriage. See, while I may not have the flexibility to just go out anytime I want, I do have the opportunity to spend time with the person who knows me best, where we can go on trips together, we can go on vacation together. See, while I may not be able to date other women, I get the opportunity to date my wife. And while I may not be able to eat instant Hot Pockets or HEB salads for dinner, I get to have the opportunity to enjoy a home-cooked meal. And even better, a home-cooked Malaysian meal, which is so much better, right? See, we are called to not to sacrifice our marriages. We are called to sacrifice for our marriages. And so in the same way, we're not called to sacrifice our relationship with Christ. We are called to sacrifice for our relationship with Christ. So let us live a self-denying life by surrendering our selfish preferences and tendencies and entrusting our lives to God by the way that we submit to his lordship and that we seek security in him. Amen? Awesome. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, for us to sit under your word. God, I just ask, Lord, that as we continue our time of worship, as we go out from here as well, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts. Show us the ways that we can deny ourselves in a way that is not legalistic, that is not leading to burnout. But God, let us choose to die to ourselves that we may gain more of you. So Spirit, do a work in our hearts even now. And turn our eyes and help us fix our eyes on you, no matter the cost. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.